let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism by Robert J. O'Keefe is an intellectually rigorous assessment of evolutionary science and defense of biblical creation. Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism recognizes the ideological nature of the topic of origin. It steps out of the realm of science and begins to deal with the question by reviewing the scientific revolution and its implications in Western thought. Studying the interpretation of Genesis 1 and describing relevant aspects of the history, geology, biology, and astronomy. Robert J. O'Keefe earned Bachelor and Master of Science degrees in Electrical Engineering from Purdue University, has 38 years of experience as a professional engineer in the electric utility industry, lives with his wife Kathleen in Columbus, Ohio. Robert O'Keefe, author of Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism, is our guest on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. Been looking forward to our conversation. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much, Rick. I'm really delighted to be here.
It is a pleasure. We're going to learn something during the course of the program today. I love what you've done in the book, Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. Let's go back and talk about the inspiration for this. What was it that motivated you to write this book?
Well, I think it was more of a provocation, perhaps, than an inspiration. But the provocation was, how did a stipulation of scientific inquiry end up as a conclusion? And the stipulation, of course, being natural causes only are admitted in the practice of science. It doesn't seem right that a stipulation ends up as the conclusion. But of course, now they are saying that natural causes are sufficient explanation for everything that exists. And in fact, even saying that natural causes are the only causes that exist. It just doesn't seem right that the stipulation ends up as a conclusion.
That's interesting that got you on the path of writing Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. A lot of books have been written on this topic from different angles over the years. I really feel your approach is unique. Talk about that. What makes your book different?
Well, I think most of the books that are out there try to work in some way with the natural world. I decided early on that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to use arguments from the natural world. I'm going to use arguments from the mind, the human mind. And that's where I begin, and that's where I end up.
With us on the program is Robert J. O'Keefe. He is the author of Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. You'll find it at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble. If you're looking online to find the book, O'Keefe is spelled O-K-E-E-F-E. All of this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Just to sort of sum up, if you had three words to describe your book, how would you describe it?
Well, it's, I would say, philosophical. It's intellectual, and made it a point to be very rigorous about the arguments in the presentation. I'm not trying to dumb this down at all, and it is, I would say, pretty rigorous. So philosophical, intellectual, rigorous.
And reading reviews, the readers appreciate that approach. They feel like they're getting something of substance in the book that you've written, Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. Who would you say is the target audience when you sat to write this? Did you have some particular audience in mind?
Well, I want to build an audience of truth seekers. And truth seekers who are not afraid of moving forward when it may end up costing them something. When truth is not always easy, it can be difficult, it can be complicated. It can be unpopular. It initially can be unpleasant, perhaps, but I'm interested in drawing out truth seekers.
That's
my target audience.
Yes, and I mentioned the reviews and how people appreciate that approach. That's me reading your reviews. When you read your reviews, when you have people that give you feedback, not necessarily post a review, but friends that read the book, you get feedback. What kind of feedback are you getting from your readers?
Well, I know that some people pick up the book, they read a paragraph or a page, and then they toss it aside saying, I can't understand this. But I think there's other people that pick it up, read it, and can understand it. And I've been told by some readers that they want to go back and read it again. Those are the people that I'm really honored to have as an audience. Those ones that really take it seriously and go back and read it again.
Robert O'Keefe is our guest on the program. He's the author of the book, Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. You'll find it at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Marketed by Global Summit House, a publishing and marketing company that caters to the author's needs. Robert is with us talking about the book that is really, again, receiving excellent reviews. What do you say about those? When you write a topic like this, you will find those that will agree, those will disagree, those that are open to a new line of thought. What do you say about those who disagree about the book's conclusions? How do you handle that when they disagree?
Well, I've never actually gotten into an argument with anyone since writing the book, but I completely sympathize with people who disagree, I didn't immediately change my mind when confronted with a creation approach, a creation argument. It took me years to go through it. This is a belief in origins is often a belief at the center of your belief system, and there's a lot of things that are affected that you really have to think through. And I think you even have to learn how to think about a topic like this, because it's not really all that obvious how you get from the physical world to what is the nature of what is being concluded. On the one hand, a universal negative with regard to the supernatural, and on the other, a mind far beyond capabilities with which we are accustomed. So there is a big gap between the physical world that you have to draw from in order to prove a point. So it takes some time, I think, for people to work through that. And so it took me time to work through that.
Was this a learning process for you as you sat and made the decision to write the book and did the research, meticulous research, in putting this together? How did this impact you? Did this strengthen your position? Did you learn and evolve, possibly, as you were writing Gaining the High Ground of Evolutionism?
Oh, yes. I learned an awful lot. Of course, my profession doesn't have anything to do with this topic at all. And so I had to learn. I had to go through a learning process, and it took years. But it was very interesting. And I ended up persuading myself on some things that I was not convinced about at the beginning. So, yeah, absolutely. It was a learning experience for me.
The book is Gaining the High Ground of Evolutionism. What are some of the overall themes of the book to somebody that's not familiar with it, but they're interested in the topic, interested in what you've had to say? What are the overlying themes that you address in the book?
Well, I think you can divide the book up into two halves. And the first half is concentrating on it, on the history of science, in particular the history of evolutionary science, and trying to draw out the assumptions that are unique to evolutionary science, and I think that there are two. I'll come back to those, but the second half of the book is more philosophical and gets into some pretty heavy-duty philosophical arguments about rational inference and the distinction between rational inference and cause and effect. So the two assumptions that I refer to are the assumptions that are unique to evolutionary science are the uniformity of natural causes in the unobserved past, that's one, and then naturally occurring specialization and ordered complexity. And those I try to draw out of the history of science since the scientific revolution.
You used the word rigorous in when we were talking about some three words to sort of summarize that. This was not a book that you obviously wrote in the weekend that just sort of came to you. You sat at the computer and cranked out a book. I'm sure a lot went into this. How long did it take from the conception of the idea to actually getting the book finished?
It took about 7 years.
Wow.
7 years. Of course, I have a full-time job that I have to attend to. But 7 years, you know, maybe about 10 hours a week on average. But obviously, thousands of hours went into this over that time period.
What was the most challenging aspect? Again, this is so well done. What was the most challenging aspect? I'm sure there are times when you hit the roadblocks and wondered, okay, did I make the right choice in even beginning this project? What were some of the challenges?
Yeah, I think perhaps the most challenging aspect of writing was trying to explain the distinction between cause and effect, which operates in the world, and everyone, I think, is comfortable with that, and rational inference. Rational inference is not cause and effect. These are two different things. Rational inference depends on cause and effect, and scientists will be inferring, say, future effects from present causes, or they infer past causes from present effects, but that is a very distinctive mental operation that is not the same as natural cause and effect that we observe in the world. That's, you know, you're pushing the limits of language to try to explain that. Language conveys rationality, but when you turn language on itself to try to describe the process of rational inference, I think that was a pretty difficult chapter to write. I had to rewrite it. Maybe through parts of it three or four times before I got it right.
Robert O'Keefe is our guest. The book is Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. A really impressive background that you have: education, Master of Science degrees, and electrical engineering from Purdue University, yet not necessarily relevant to the topic. Talk about that and the qualifications. Someone would say, well, okay, what's his background? Why does he feel that he has the necessary background to approach this topic?
Yeah, well, the fact is I don't have the necessary background. I had to
maybe
learn it.
Maybe that's a good thing, yes.
Yeah, and so, but, you know, this topic requires a generalist, not a specialist. So academic credentials, PhDs and so forth, and science and history and so forth, they're very specialized focus. But this topic really requires a generalist, because it has to draw from so many different disciplines: philosophy, science, the history of science, theology, an understanding of the Bible, and so many different aspects are part of this topic.
Well, that's interesting. You have to draw from numerous sources. Who were some of the most influential, whether it be a person or a particular library, book, or whatever? What were some of the sources that were really prominent in the success of this book?
Well, I would say C.S. Lewis was very influential on me. And C.S. Lewis, Ravi Zacharias, and Philip Johnson really taught me how to think about this topic. I didn't know how to think about it, but I learned from them. I don't know them personally, of course, but I learned from their writings how to think about this topic. And that, I think, is probably the influence that I had was from really those three people in that order. C.S.
Yes.
Lewis, of course, being at the top.
The book is less about scientific evidence, more about, I would call them, philosophical presuppositions. Talk about that, how you came to approach it in that manner.
Okay, yeah, that is very interesting. And that is why my arguments do not draw from the natural world. They draw from the mind. So presuppositions and predispositions really rule the selection and interpretation of evidence. And so that is where you really have to evaluate those presuppositions. People have a tendency to go to one answer or the other, the supernatural answer or the natural answer. And as I was explaining, getting from the material world, the physical world, to a conclusion on on whether or not there is a creator. There's a huge gap there. And so you can it's much more effective, I think, to deal with those presuppositions. And there's two ways I think you can do that. Evaluate the logical consistency of your presupposition, of your answer on that topic of origins, and also the relevance to everyday experience.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't want to take anything away from the book. We want people to buy the book, and they will get lost in it and really learn from it. The book is Gaining the High Ground over Evolutionism. Robert O'Keefe is our guest on the program. But if you would briefly describe one of the arguments you have in the book, establishing the superiority of creation. Without giving too much away, just give us some idea.
Yeah, it's based on that distinction between rational inference and cause and effect. Rational inference is not a natural cause and effect process. It is not a natural process. It is a supernatural process. And when you begin to understand that distinction, and I have exercises in the workbook that help the student through that, then you begin to realize that there's more to existence than just the physical world. And in fact, the very thought process, the very reasoning that scientists undergo is not a natural process. And when you begin to understand that, then you see that there's a lot more to this than just the physical world that scientists deal with.
You know, I love the aspect of the workbook. Talk briefly about that, because you're giving us something and then the tools to better understand the information you just gave us.
Right. So this was written as an educational resource. So it does have a workbook. It can be used in a school setting. So that's available. The workbook and the book itself are available on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
And the book is Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. The creation position, obviously contingent to a great degree on the credibility of the Bible. Can its credibility be established, do you feel?
Yeah, its credibility can be established, but perhaps not in the way people usually think. It's established by understanding the connection between the Old and New Testaments. So neither Old nor New Testaments are standalone books. They fit together, and they fit together very well. And it's amazing how well they fit together, considering the fact that you're dealing with the foundational writings of two major world religions that are really not all that compatible. But the writings are compatible. The Old Testament anticipates a future that is not contained within itself. And the New Testament is constantly going back to the Old Testament to substantiate its claims. But I would say the birth of Christianity was, from that aspect, was not a very happy occurrence, because the mother tried to destroy the child immediately. Of course, you know, Christianity comes out of Judaism, but very early on, Christianity was recognized as a completely separate religion, not a sect or a subset of Judaism.
You know, whenever someone brings up evolution, creation, there's some controversy, and sometimes people try to even avoid the discussion. Why has this been so controversial for really so long?
Well, I think it has to do with the distance between what people have to work with in the physical world and the nature of what is being concluded, as I was trying to explain before. So, you know, on the one case, it's a universal negative with regard to the supernatural, and on the other, a mind just far beyond capabilities with which we accustomed. And those are the conclusions that people try to reach from the physical world. And the question is, how do you get from where we are here to that sort of answer? And that's why I don't use the natural world in my arguments. I just decided early on that that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to start from the mind. So, yeah, it is controversial, I think, for that reason. And another aspect of this is the fact that people are well aware of the consequences of one belief over another. And so the, you know, the existence of a creating God that might have some expectations on you, I think perhaps I think is something that drives people one in one direction or the other. So those two things together, I think, make it a continuing unsettled controversy.
Yeah, knowing the controversy is there, how do you, did you acknowledge it in the book, and how do you go about sort of explaining the controversial character of this topic?
Yeah, and I think in general people are aware that it is very controversial and it's completely unsettled. But I think that I have a chapter on the court cases. The court cases that deal with the teaching of evolution and creation in the school system, the public schools. So the first one being, of course, the 1925 Scopes trial. And then there was several cases that reached the Supreme Court in the 1980s and there was one just back in 2005 that didn't reach the Supreme Court, but I think was very interesting to see how that played out. But the court cases, I think, very interesting in exhibiting, in showing the nature of the controversy and the sides that people take on it and how they argue their points. So I do have a fairly long chapter in the book dealing with the court cases.
Robert O'Keefe is our guest on This Week in America. His book is Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. You'll find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about the implications of belief in this, and believing in creation versus believing in evolution. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, I think that people are well aware of the implications, at least as it would affect them personally.
Yes.
Whether there is a creating God or is not a creating God. If there's not a creating God, then they're pretty much in charge of their own life, and they don't have to answer to anyone above them. If there is a creating God, it's a whole different situation, and of course, you know, the obvious thing is, well, this God, if there is such a God, he has expectations on us that determine, you know, where our destiny will ultimately be. And so, but if there is maybe another implication that I think people are not aware of and have not thought of, and that is that if our sense of goodness, our sense of justice and rightness is only within ourselves, then there's no reasoned way to resolve disputes. And what you are left with is coercion and power. But if the sense of goodness and justice and rightness exist outside of ourselves in a universal, in a transcendent setting, universal and invariant, then there is a means of reasoned appeal to resolve disputes between different senses of what is right and good. That, I think, is a very significant implication, and you see that being played out in politics. And my second book, as a matter of fact, gets into that much more deeply than Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism.
So there is a relationship to everyday living, isn't there? This is not just some theoretical, intellectual topic that you're discussing. There are facets of this that really impact everyday life for all of us.
Right. And I would just point out, let me just list off the immaterial aspects of everyday living. Rationality, truth, justice, meaning and purpose, freedom, goodness, value, love, hope, trust. These are immaterial aspects of everyday living that people live in, they live through, they live for. And if you try to explain them on a biological basis as if they were effects of biological causes, you pretty much nullify their significance. These are, they can't be explained materially. And so these are the things that really are important in living, in everyday living. I don't think you can ignore that fact. That's where the relevance of the answer comes into play. You can't explain these immaterial aspects of living on a material biological basis. It just doesn't work.
We've got a couple minutes left. What do you hope is the lasting impression that readers take away in reading Gaining the High Ground over Evolutionism? What do you want the takeaway to be?
I would like the readers to come away with the impression that it is really creation, contrary to what is commonly thought, that it is really creation that occupies the intellectual high ground here on this topic of origins. That's what I want readers to come away from.
We're talking, of course, about this book specifically. You mentioned another book. Tell me what other books you have, and what are you working on now? What you're going to set aside 7 years and write another book here? What are you working on?
Yeah, well, actually, that's what I've done. So this evolution, the Gaining the High Ground over Evolutionism, was published in 2012. There is a republication that was done I think last year. But since that time, since 2012, I've been working on another one called Liberty and the Wall of Separation in church, between Church and State. And so that is about getting pretty close to being published here. So I expect it to be out in the next few months.
That would be great, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity to talk about that as well. The book we are talking about by Robert O'Keefe, that's O-K-E-E-F-E. The book is Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. You'll find it at Amazon at barnesandnoble.com. Marketed by Global Summit House, a publishing and marketing company that caters to the author's needs. Robert, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. A wonderful job that you've done. Thank you for sharing all of this with us on the program today. Look forward to having you back with us. Thank you for taking the time to talk about the book and the program.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
It has been our pleasure. You're welcome. Robert O'Keefe, the book is Gaining the High Ground Over Evolutionism. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.